There is a lot of talk these days about heaven. Is it for real? What is it like? How do you get there?
The most direct answer is that our Protestant friends, at least many of them, seem to make a sharp distinction between justification and sanctification.
Our justification is based solely on what Christ did on the cross. We are justified, made righteous in the sight of God by Christ's sacrifice. Sanctified is the process of being set apart for God's work.
So you are justified by grace through faith. Then follows sanctification through works. We, as Orthodox, again, to put it very simply, we would agree with this, of course. Salvation is by grace.
The Apostle Paul put it plainly in his letter to the Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, quote, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them," end quote. Ever since Paul penned those words, there have been countless pages written to explain their meaning. Today on this broadcast, we'll spend the majority of our time together parsing the words and thoughts from an Orthodox Christian understanding. Welcome to another edition of our broadcast. It's called Come Receive the Light, or we call it CRTL. We're just one of several ministries of OCN, the Orthodox Christian Network, on the web at myocn.net, also on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. Father Chris is also the new president of Hellenic College Holy Cross School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts. If you're thinking of pursuing a quality college education in a Christian environment, or perhaps studying for the priesthood, I encourage you to check out Hellenic College Holy Cross at hchc.edu.
The architect must understand the liturgy, must understand the ecclesiastical requirements. And it's just a matter of walking yourself through it.
Have you ever wondered about the process an architect goes through as he or she plans out the construction of a brand new church? Well, we did, and we got one of the leading architects on the phone to talk about that process. There is a reason for why things are done the way they're done, especially when it comes to an Orthodox Christian church. Here's Father Chris.
I'm joined today by Stephen Papadatos, the managing partner of Papadatos Partnership. He's here to talk with us about his faith and his career and how they intersect. Thanks for joining us today, Stephen.
My pleasure, Father Chris.
Let's start by hearing about the Papadatos Partnership. What is it that you do?
What we do, actually, we started in 1969. June 13th, and we're architects, interior designers, and planners.
I know that you've built and you've also restored Orthodox churches and even cathedrals around the world. Where did you study architecture?
I studied at Institute of Design and Construction in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn?
And then it's something that you don't really do, but you study Byzantine architecture by doing it.
Uh-huh.
And I had a very good teacher, and when we designed our first church, St. George Basilica, up in Norwalk, Connecticut, it was Father Yamanos Stavropoulos.
Oh, yes, a blessed memory.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. He was a good friend, and he taught me a lot about Byzantine architecture.
Mm-hmm. And so you not only do churches and cathedrals and that, but I know you've done community centers and other types of buildings too, right?
Oh, absolutely. One of the best community centers is the one in Milwaukee with Father Jim Dokas.
Yes, yes. That's an incredible place.
Yeah, and that's right next to the Frank Lloyd Wright Church.
Right. Anyone that's listening to the program, if you're ever in the Milwaukee area, you've got to go by and see that church and that community center. It's outstanding. Recently, Stephen, we were with His Beatitude, Archbishop Anastasios of Albania, up at the dedication for the Orthodox Christian Mission Center, the new building, which is fantastic.
Yes.
And we were there, and we spoke about the church and the miracles that have taken place in Albania, where literally Orthodoxy was just wiped off the face of the earth.
Correct.
I know you restored a church in Tirana, in Albania.
No, no. I actually designed
the
cathedral in Tirana.
Wow. Well, how is it different? I mean, going to, I can't imagine building a church in Albania, and let alone building a church here in America, but some of the differences in doing that, what would they be?
Actually, the first time I went to Albania to present my design for the cathedral, I asked myself the same question. I said, how is it going to be any different? I said, geez, we're in a third world country.
Right.
And you know, would these people be able to implement the design?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt very negative about it. But what a difference. The Albanians have worked so hard, and they're so good at what they're doing. And it's probably equal or even better than the projects in New York City.
How so?
How so? The mm-hmm. quality of work.
Quality.
Most of the churches built in the States are like out of synthetic material.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Whereas there, they're all the materials.
Solid stone. And solid brick.
Well, I know that you also design and you build private homes. I'd like you to do one of my houses one day, Stephen, but I'd have to have a lot of money to do that. But let's think for a minute about the differences between, let's say, building a home and building a church.
Actually, there really isn't a difference. When you build a home, you really have to know how the family is going to live, how the circulation is going to work. Mm-hmm. For example, you want the rec room near the kitchen. How do you enter through the garage? Where's the main entrance? And it all depends on the function of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with the church. The architect must understand the liturgy, must understand the ecclesiastical requirements. And it's just a matter of walking yourself through it.
Knowing you now for as many years as I do, I know you are a man of deep faith. I know that you're also an archon of the Ecumenical Patriarchate. I wonder, Stephen, if you could share a little bit with us about how your personal faith has influenced your work.
Perhaps you may know, but I always wanted to become a priest.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yes. And matter of fact, I was almost ready to become a priest, and then I decided to become an architect.
Hmm.
And I started getting involved in church architecture. And I designed the churches so the priests could save souls.
Hmm, okay. How long does it take you to design a church, do you think? A couple
different
weeks,
churches,
couple months?
Different times.
Different
it's,
time.
I would say the initial design could come to you while you're on a plane or at home.
Mm-hmm. Well, Stephen, it's been a real pleasure talking with you. Thanks so much. If people want to get a hold of you and visit the firm, what's the website that they can visit?
The website is papadatospartnership.com.
Okay. God bless you, and I hope you're around a long time to design many, many churches for us, Stephen.
Thank you very much, Father Chris.
A link to that website for Stephen Papadatos will also be on our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Well, the walls, the roof, the doors, the windows, these are only a part of an Orthodox church. The biblical stories which are told on those walls and ceilings and sometimes windows through the iconography puts incredible meaning into that physical structure. There is a powerful video on our website about one church in upstate New York which transformed its stark structure, its walls, into a visual witness through iconography.
It was January 1st, and every year on January 1st in the Orthodox churches, it's the feast day of St. Basil. And I was in church with, at that time, my 5-year-old daughter, Marina. And the choir was singing, and the sun was shining. And a little 5-year-old girl looked at me and said, "Daddy, the people that live in the walls are singing." That moment I will have with me the rest of my life. That's why we did this. That's why we did this.
Click on the link, The Art of Belief, when you go to our website to view the entire video. I encourage you to do that. That's myocn.net, and again, it's The Art of Belief. Well, Father Theodore Stylianopoulos is the Archbishop, Iakovos Professor of Orthodox Theology and Professor of New Testament at Holy Cross Greek Orthodox School of Theology. He's on the phone with Father Chris to talk about a topic which is very important to many Christians today, faith, works, and salvation.
Welcome, Father Ted.
Thank you, Father Chris. I greet you and your listeners with the love of Christ.
Thank you, Pater. I'd like to start by hearing your response to some words that were written on this subject by Metropolitan Callistos Ware, as we know, a well-known Orthodox theologian, who says, "We are saved by faith, and faith is not a hypothesis, but a personal relationship. It signifies not adherence to certain propositions about Christ, but direct trust in Christ himself. Saving truth is not a set of ideas, but a living person." In other words, we need to ask ourselves not what is truth, but who is truth? Father Ted?
Sure. Certainly, faith is not a hypothesis, nor is faith a mere intellectual or mental assent, just saying yes to God in your mind. Nor is it a single commitment of the will just one day or one time. Mm-hmm. It has to be affirmed time and again. So I would agree very much, and I think most Christians would agree, that faith is essentially trust in Christ, and that trust is personal. Personal faith, personal trust, creating a relationship with the Lord. However, there is a secondary meaning to faith, namely, in terms of significant principles and doctrines in the Bible and in the tradition, mm-hmm. theological and ethical. So if we believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, that's a doctrine. If we believe that we should love one another as Christ has told us, that's an ethical principle. Those are propositions. Okay, so those things go together. But above all, we should ask who is the truth, not just what is the truth. Mm-hmm. And for Christians, of course, Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I would add, however, that when we make these proclamations of faith, we have to be humble, loving, kind, tempered, in our witness, always remembering that these are statements of faith, faith experience. So we can't sound like everybody else is dumb mm-hmm. if they don't accept that.
I would also state that people today are looking, they're searching, they're trying to find this truth, and then they grab on almost to anything they see in hopes that that is the truth. And we have the truth, and yet people don't know about it. And that bothers us. I know that's one of the reasons we began OCN, was to share the truth of Christ
sure.
with people. And we see now people asking more and more questions, because there is a smorgasbord out there. They can go and literally today choose whatever faith they want to choose. What is it for us, Father Ted, that we could say to folks that listen to know what is the truth and who is the truth? What can we point to for them in the Orthodox Church?
Well, I think the central thing is that this is the church that goes back to the Church of the Apostles. It is in continuous, not only historical, but theological continuity. And absolutely, it's centered on the good news of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And we Orthodox ourselves should be much more knowledge about what the gospel is. What's the content of the gospel? What are the blessings of the gospel? What are the demands of the gospel? And make sure that we are authentic to our own witness as the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and that everything that we do in the church reflects the good news of the apostolic gospel.
Yeah,
and to do all this again as a humbly offering an invitation to others to join us mm-hmm. in the Christian church, which is supposed to be a community of faith and love. Mm-hmm. But the gospel, in its essential meaning and content and power, has to do with what God has accomplished in the person and the ministry of Christ. And what did he accomplish? God, in Christ and the Holy Spirit, unleashed the powers of his kingdom, defeating the forces of evil and inaugurating a new creation. So God is conducting a rescue operation of humanity. Mm-hmm. It's just not my soul and your soul. God is trying to rescue his all of creation from the powers of evil.
It's a lot bigger than just us, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah, obviously. And to put the things, the world right. It's a grand vision in which we are called to participate.
I have a something that I ask the congregation many times, and I ask them, I said, how many of you want to be in heaven with the Lord? And at some point in your lives, and they'll raise their hand, and then some won't raise their hand. And I'll say, well, where do the rest of you folks want to be? And so I think for many people, I think getting into heaven, as they say, really just means not going to hell. But isn't salvation much more than that, Father?
Absolutely, it's much more. I think this is where appropriate preaching and teaching comes in. First of all, to tell us that heaven and hell is not at the end of our lives. It's already here and now. Mm-hmm. The fact that we can proclaim what God has done through Christ to bring out a new creation, and we participate in that, we already share in his resurrection. On the other hand, if we don't, we also share hell here and now.
Mm-hmm.
This is what St. Paul describes, especially in Romans chapter 1, the plight of humanity, humanity turning to idolatry and morality and all sorts of evil, and we see that on a daily basis, the conflicts of humanity, in the family, in society, in the political parties.
A living hell. A living hell.
Of course.
Yes.
Here you are, a broken, fragmented world under the power of darkness and evil and death. Okay? And the proclamation of the gospel is that Christ, what God has done in Christ, can help you in your marriage. It can help you in raising your children. Mm-hmm. It can help you, like Christ, defeat the powers of evil in your life and become a witness to that new creation that Christ has brought to us. To me, that's a very attractive vision.
Mm-hmm.
To proclaim it humbly and strongly is an invitation, and keep it out there as a message for people to respond to.
We also live, Father, I'm sure you know this, we live in a society of self-help books where you have to give me a process, Father. You have to tell me 1, 2, 3, 4. This is what I have to do to obtain my salvation. I don't know if we fully understand, and maybe you can unpack for us an Orthodox perspective of that eternal process of growth in Christ, which we term as theosis.
Yeah. Let me say first that when we preach and teach the message of Holy Scripture, it's important to try to get to people to think that the Bible and its message is about God and what God has done. It's not just simply what we can get out of it.
Mm, there you go.
That we have a number of wonderful things today, and our salaries and their insurance and our cars and so on. Then we can get one more little thing from religion.
Mm.
It's an entirely different way of thinking,
right.
An invitation to see, you know, things from God's perspective and what God is doing in history and this rescue operation that he's conducting for the whole world and to make it right, to put it right and so on and so forth. So we're involved ourselves and invited to participate in this great, great process. And essentially what it is that God has given us the gift. He already has defeated this power of evil, the power of sin, the power of death, and the power of the devil in Christ and his ministry and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he brings in us to us in a new creation that we're supposed to live out every day through our very practical lives of how we get up in the morning, what we do, going to work, relating with our families, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You can find this especially in places like Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians, where we read not only our individual lives, but the whole ministry of the church, not only the personal life of it, but the corporate life of the church in its ministry is what? To build up the body of Christ,
yes.
To attain to the unity of the faith, to attain to the full knowledge of the Son of God, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the gospel challenges us to put on Christ. And as we practice those attributes of Christ, we have more Christ, and we have more Christ, we also are empowered to live also by the Spirit and the mind of Christ.
Father, how about the issue of faith and works? I know from an Orthodox perspective and a Protestant perspective, we have some differences there. Could you talk about that a bit for us?
Sure. The most direct answer is that our Protestant friends, at least many of them, seem to make a sharp distinction between justification and sanctification. So they apply the idea of salvation to justification. Okay? So you are justified by grace through faith. Mm-hmm. Then follows sanctification through works. Mm-hmm. We, as Orthodox, again, to put it very simply, we would agree with this. Of course, salvation is by grace. The essential connection with Christ and with what God offers in Christ is by faith. We have no works. We're sinners. Mm-hmm. But once we connect with Christ, we have the challenge of living in Christ and doing works of mercy and so on and so forth our whole life. And at the end, we are judged, as Scripture says that we are. Mm-hmm. You have, for example, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment of the seat of Christ so that each one may receive good or evil according to what he has done in the body. Mm. This is St. Paul now speaking to Christians. He's not speaking to pagans.
Right.
So that's the direct answer. The more comprehensive answer is the fact that this classic controversy of faith and works is between Protestants and Roman Catholics. In other words, you have to see what the Protestants are opposing in the Roman Catholic teaching, namely the doctrine of meritorious works, that certain ethical acts or certain acts of piety or prayers, according to this Catholic theology, deserve certain merits. And if you have enough merits, then you can gain God's kingdom. And further, the case of the indulgences, where if you contribute money, you can help improve the condition of your deceased, wherever they are, with God. And if they are suffering, you can improve that because you've given a donation.
Right.
And Luther was quite right to oppose that and to emphasize we are saved by grace through faith and not through meritorious works. Mm-hmm. Okay. The problem with Luther in emphasizing the alone and adding that word in 328 is that he carries it far more than St. Paul and the Scriptures carry it by seemingly assigning no saving value at all to works at any time. Mm-hmm. As I was saying earlier, sure, when we connect with Christ, our essential connection of salvation, we don't have works. We're sinners.
Right.
But once we join and continue our life in Christ, we need to demonstrate this connection and our faith through works because we face, ultimately, the final judgment. Okay? We, as Orthodox, are not involved in this controversy. Okay? And we continue the biblical emphasis on the priority of grace and faith. Absolutely. Grace and faith are prior. So we have no doctrine of merits. Okay. On the other hand, we don't fear looking and seeing in the Bible that God chooses to reward the righteous. But we don't need to base here a doctrine of merits. If God chooses to reward us, that's up to God.
It's up to God, exactly.
Okay. Okay. But we live by our love for Him and not looking to merits. I think the best formula is precisely Ephesians 2:10, which says, you're saved by grace. It's not your work. It's not your doing. Mm-hmm. You're saved by grace through faith for good works.
For good works, right.
Of course.
Well, Father, faith, works, and salvation. Father Ted, we've spoken about a lot today. Obviously, we cannot exhaust the topic today with you. but it is always an honor to have you on our program, Father Theodore Stylianopoulos, who is the Archbishop Yakovos Professor of Orthodox Theology and New Testament at Holy Cross Greek Orthodox School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts. Thank you very much, Father Ted, for being with us today.
Thank you, Father Chris. God bless you.
Written works by Father Stylianopoulos and others on this topic can be found in our web store at myocn.net. Remember, we're a nonprofit ministry, and when you purchase anything through our link to Amazon, then you'll generate a donation back to the ministry as a result of your purchase. That's myocn.net, and the web store, a link is on our homepage. I'm Mike Trout. You're listening to Come Receive the Light with Father Christopher Metropoulos. Join us next week at this same time if you can, and remember to always have faith in what you listen to.